The man can make conditions only, and if the woman does not have conditions, it's fine. If the woman have conditions and the man has no condition, it's still fine. If both of them have condition, both conditions have to be discussed and agreed about, or at least try to meet halfway. Now, if they agree about this condition, and now you're going to conduct the marriage, the man have to fulfill this condition as well as the woman. We could not deceive, okay? You could not trick her, as example, yes, I will put you in a house. And after you marry her, you put her in an apartment. Say, okay, this also called house, but mean housing, to house you, that mean to shelter you. So this from housing or whatever it is, and you could not play tricks, okay? Because this condition, this what you had made the private parts lawful for you. You see? You could not. So now you are obligated. You are obligated. Otherwise, how did he make this intercourse to be halal for you and you are not fulfilling? So Rasulullah ﷺ telling us here that the most worthy conditions, all conditions, okay, wa'afu bil'ahd, keep the promise, okay? This is what Allah commands, but all ahd and all promises have to be fulfilled. But here the Prophet ﷺ emphasizing this more and says that the most worthy conditions are the conditions that, as a result of it, that this marriage became lawful for you. So inshallah, for those who are planning, or they are not married or planning to get married, they have to be aware about these things and to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their marriage. Hadith number 848, and this is page number 351. وعن سلمة بن الأكوع رضي الله تعالى عنه قال رخص رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عام أوطاس في المتعة ثلاثة أيام ثم نهى عنه رواه مسلم. This hadith, hadith number 848, page number 351, narrated by Salama ibn al-Akwa, may Allah be pleased with him, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave permission in the year of Awtas. This means the battle of Awtas, okay? He gave permission concerning mut'ah, or temporary marriage, if we can use this term, for a period of 3 days, and after this he forbade it. As we said, Awtas is the name of a battle that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the battle of Awtas, which took place after the grand opening of Mecca, and this was the year, the 8th year after Hijjah, after the migration of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So during this battle, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gives them the permissibility of mut'ah. Like I said, this the closer translation to it, say temporary marriage, that a man will contract a woman to marry her for a period, special period. It can be an hour, it can be a day, it can be a month, okay? And this happened for a period of 3 days only, and after this Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbid it. So we understand from this hadith that temporary marriage is already been forbidden, that we could not exercise it anymore, that been abrogated, and is already is going to be so until the day of judgment. And that when it took place for a reason, during a battlefield, that is only been permitted for a period of 3 days, and was only for those people that was involved in this battle and in this fighting, that was not permissible for anybody sitting, living in Mecca or in Medina or things like this. But this was a condition, because the soldiers, they away from their wives and things like this, for was emergency reason, okay, being permitted. And this does not mean the man will go contract a woman who's married. A woman that is not married, that he will contract this with her and will be lawful for him to be with her. But it's not after this battle that nikah al-mut'ah or the temporary marriage is forbidden. Next hadith, which is hadith number 849. وعن علي رضي الله تعالى عنه قال نهى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عن المتعة عام خيبر. حديث reported by علي. May Allah be pleased with him. The hadith in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari and Muslim. Also take hadith number 850 in the same time. أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم نهى عن متعة النساء وعن أكل الحمر الأهلية يوم خيبر. So both hadith relating, both hadith are authentic, one related by Ali as well as the second one, and both of them took place concerning the battle of Khaybar, which was approximately about 1 year before عام أوطاس, the year or the battle of أوطاس. That Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم have forbade the temporary marriage as well as the donkeys, okay? Domestic donkey, okay? So we understand from this that temporary marriage had been abrogated and been made lawful, and after this abrogated, but the final condition status of this, that is no longer. So for somebody to say, how we have here hadith as example, watch in the year of Khaybar, and after this again in Awtaz been made, which one was the year number 7 and one was the year number 8? Okay, we said that this hadith of Ali was before, and the one that of Awtas came later and was for a reason, and after this the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbid it, so and never made it lawful after this. From this previous three hadith we understand that temporary marriage, okay, is forbidden even with the presence of a guardian, even with the presence of dowry, even with the presence of witnesses and conditions that could not be done anymore. Hadith number 851. وعن ربيع ابن صبرة عن أبيه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إني كنت أذنت لكم في الاستمتاع من النساء وإن الله قد حرم ذلك إلى يوم القيامة فمن كان عنده منهن شيء فليخلي سبيلها ولا تأخذوا مما آتيتموهن شيئا. أخرجه مسلم. This hadith which reported by Rabi that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's saying that he had permitted this temporary marriage before, and now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had forbid it and is going to be forbidden until the day of judgment. Let any one of you who has any woman under him, release her, let her go, and don't take anything back from what you had given them as a dowry. Okay? So this hadith also emphasizes, which is hadith authentic, emphasizes that temporary marriage is forbidden until the day of a judgment, and that dowry used to be also involved in this marriage. وعن ابن مسعود رضي الله تعالى عنه قال لعن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم المحلل والمحلل له. رواه أحمد والنسائي والترمذي. This hadith is authentic hadith that in page number 351 as well 352, hadith number 852 reported by Ibn Mas'ud, and the hadith in the collection of Imam Ahmad wa Nisa'i wa Tirmidhi, and the hadith is authentic. here that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam cursed, okay, the man who made a woman lawful, called muhallil, to make something lawful for her first husband, and the one who whom she was made lawful. Okay, now this hadith related concerning a man, he divorced his wife 3 times. In the case of divorce 3 times, a woman is completely forbidden for this man, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inform us, فَإِن طَلَّقَهَا فَلَا تَحِلُّ لَهَا حَتَّى تَنْكِحَ زَوْجًا غَيْرًا, that if he divorces her after the second divorce, which will be the third, she will be forbidden for him until she do what? Marry another man. So now there in some places there is something called al-muhallil. So now somebody feel bad about what happened, so and so got divorced and they have some kids involved and all these things, so he will come to act as a muhallil, that means a person who provoked the forbidden case, okay, to make the woman lawful. So he will marry the woman, that means he will give dowry, witnesses, everything, okay, and he may spend the night with her for one night, but with no intercourse, okay, and after this he will what? Divorce her. Okay, so now when her idda finish, okay, now the first man will come, because actually there is no idda after he divorced her, alright, now the first man will come and do what? Marry her. So now whosoever made this action lawful, who came with this intention, and the one that the action been made lawful, okay, for her or him, both of them are cursed, okay, and this could not be marriage, this could not be a marriage. So the hadith, it shows that is prohibited for to act in this position of to be muhallil. And even if the muhallil come and he perform marriage on this woman that he did not really make her lawful for the first one, the previous one. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا ينكح الزاني المجلود إلا مثله. Hadith number 853, reported by Abu Hurairah, may Allah be pleased with him. And the hadith in the collection of Imam Ahmad and Abu Dawood, and the hadith is authentic. That Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying what the meaning is, that a man who's guilty with illegal intercourse, who has been lashed, he could not marry anyone but a similar woman in the same guilt and the same sin. Okay? A pure, clean man could not marry a woman in this condition. Not a clean, pure woman can marry a man in a condition like this. And this shows us how serious this crime of illegal intercourse. That good woman for a good man, a sinful man for a sinful woman. So if somebody who had did this and did something and been lashed as a punishment for this crime, he's not supposed to be married a woman who is afifa, who is clean and chaste. The next hadith, which hadith is number 854, وعن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها قالت طلق رجل امرأته 3 فتزوجها رجل ثم طلقها قبل أن يدخل بها، فأراد زوجها الأول أن يتزوجها فسأل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عن ذلك فقال لا حتى يذوق الآخر من عسيلتها ما ذاق الأول. متفق عليه. This hadith, which in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari as well Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayhima, reported by Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, and the hadith is authentic, that a man had divorced his wife 3 times, and another man he married her. And pay attention now, this man didn't come as a muhallil, but he actually married her, which you call it marriage. But he divorced her before he before he consummated the marriage. Okay, so the first man who had divorced her previously 3 times, he won't marry her. So he asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam concerning this issue. He said no, until the other man, or the other man, that means the second husband, okay, the second person who married her, experience sexual intercourse with her as the first husband had. Okay, and this is a condition, a must. Even if we, in the first case, we talk about al-muhallil, that he will marry her only for this purpose, this could not be done. Okay, and in this condition Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam emphasizing the necessity of intercourse that have to be taken place in the second marriage before she goes to the first husband. And that is not to be taken to make up this condition. It have to be a real marriage, and actually the second husband, for whatever reason, he want to divorce her. Okay, maybe he's not satisfied with her, maybe something happened between them, so he divorced her. Now she's going to have a iddah. Okay, and after her iddah is over, now if the first man want to marry her, now he can marry her with a new contract, new dowry, new everything. Okay, next chapter under the chapter or the book of marriage, and this bab al-kafa'a wal-khiyar, this in page number 353, equality in marriage and right of choice, hadith number 855. We're going to jump or escape this hadith because this hadith is weak. The next hadith, page number 353, hadith number 856, وعن فاطمة بنت قيس رضي الله تعالى عنها أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لها أنكحي أسامة. رواه مسلم. That the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, this hadith reported by فاطمة بنت قيس, hadith in the collection of Imam Muslim رحمة الله عليه, that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم advise or he order فاطمة بنت قيس to marry أسامة. Now, Usama was a mawla, was a slave, and this woman who is from the tribe of Quraysh, which you consider like a noble tribe, and even if it's not about a noble tribe, at least she's a free woman. Okay, so So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told her or advised her to marry from Usama. And this shows us the permissibility of marrying a person from different background or less than the woman in her status, okay, not a different religion. A Muslim woman could not marry anyone except a Muslim. She could not marry a Jew or a Christian, even if he believe in the oneness of Allah. Rejection of the finality of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his prophethood, it makes him a kafir. He still calls the people of the book, but a Muslima, a female woman, could not be under a Jew or a Christian or a kafir. This is haram. Although we heard about some so-called Muslim leader in United States that he makes this permissible for his community, assuming that they say that this is not in the book of Allah, or they assuming they say that the Christian and the Jews are believers, and this is a disaster. So we could not refuse a person because color, because language, because make less money that or less education, okay, for whatever it is. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, innama al-mu'minuna ikhwa, indeed the believers are brethren. And also Allah told us, inna akramakum inda Allahi atqakum, that the most honorable among you in the sight of Allah are those who more with taqwa. Okay, your color, your money, your degree doesn't make you better than the other person. The next hadith, hadith Abu Hurairah, which hadith number 857, radiyallahu ta'ala an, and the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, قال يا بني بياضة أنكحوا أبا هند وانكحوا إليه وكان حجاما. The hadith is Hassan, is good. Hadith reported by Abu Huraira that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he called on the people of Bayada, okay, a family or a tribe, and he said, marry to Abu Hind, okay, that mean give him one of your daughters and marry from him women, okay, and also marry from his people. And this man, he was working in some kind of some kind of a job that the people look down on, this kind of a trade, which is hajjam. The hajjam, you know, the cabin, but the actually they used to do it, or people like looking down in certain kind of trade to be something low class, like a barber shop or shoe shine or stand or things like this. Especially about the hajjam, because he sucks the blood of a sick person, okay, directly or indirectly by tubes or whatever it is they used to do it. So this look, some people look down on something like this, okay. So doesn't matter whatever kind of a trade, as long as he's doing something halal dollar and he's a Muslim, this it, okay. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this hadith is showing us also the permissibility of marrying a person who may be working something is not what we, okay, you don't have to, but it is permissible, okay.
Down on it
until
I get sick.
No, worse than sick. So from this two other hadiths that we see permissibility of an Arab woman marry a slave, a man who's from Quraysh or from Arab can marry a slave girl, okay, and marrying from other trade and other different backgrounds, whatever it is, as long a person, as long as Muslim. Next hadith, which hadith Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, this is hadith number 858. وعن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها قالت خيرت بريرة على زوجها حين عتقت. متفق عليه. ذات عائشة, the hadith is authentic in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari and Muslim, reported by Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, that Barira, may Allah be pleased with her, been given the choice over her husband when her freedom been given to her. Okay, so now Barira and her husband, both of them, they were in captivity. Is this the right term to use? That means they slaves. Okay, in slavery, both of them. So the master gave the wife, okay, freedom. She became a free, and the husband remained as a slave. Now in this condition, this doesn't make violate the marriage or make it a divorce. But if the woman, she want to separate herself from her husband who's still in captivity, she has this right, but nobody can impose this in her, but she should know that this is her right. Okay, and we got to understand this from the narration of Imam Muslim, that he had informed us in his narration that her husband was a slave. So it is up to her, for her to remain in that marriage, or for her to make fasq, that mean nullify the marriage. And from this hadith also we understand the permissibility of selling one of the partners in marriage, or and keeping the other, or freeing one and keeping the other. Okay, so if a man or a husband and wife, okay, which both of them are slave, and he decides to sell one, he has this right.
What would happen to the marriage in that?
The marriage is still remaining marriage.
Even if one slave was sold?
One in the east, one in the west, is still marriage, okay? But if one want, okay, if both of them are still slaves, okay, they want a different owner, they still are married. Maybe they could not enjoy the life of marriage, but they still married.
Were they captured as Muslim and enslaved, or did they accept Islam after they were captured and became slaves?
Okay, there is two cases that they've been caught as non-Muslims, okay, and later on caught in the battlefield fighting the Islamic army, and now they've been distributed by the head of the leader of the army to different people. So whosoever has them, he's the owner now. Or that the owner has them and later on he sold it to somebody else. So you can get it of one of these two ways. Now if the person remain in kufr or became Muslim, Islam is not going to free him. Okay? Until, this will be another class, we can talk about it. But all what we try to hint to one point is that this, the master, he has the right, because it's like you own a car, okay? You can give it a gift, you can keep it, you can drive it, you can sell it, okay? Okay, I could not get to this shit. What about the inheritance? What about the what they own? And, okay. Okay. And divorcing of freeing the wife of a slave does not make it a divorce automatically, okay? And that freedom has the right or has a higher standard over slavery. Also, from this hadith we learn that the person who's in charge of the affairs of the Muslims have to let the people aware about their rights, even if they don't want to exercise it, but at least they should be aware about it. So she been free. So here they've been told, or told, she been told that this is her right if she want to do it. The next hadith, I see the narration of Muslim here, and he said أَنَّ زَوْجَهَا كَانَ عَبْدًا. Okay, so next hadith we're going to leave it. Although that the hadith its meaning is correct, but the narration is not authentic. That when a person could not marry, like say an aunt and a niece, the same way you could not marry two sisters. Okay, so but this hadith is talking about that the man, he became a Muslim and he have two sisters. So when he was married to two sisters, he was not Muslim. Now he became a Muslim. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam telling him to divorce one of them. The narration is not correct, is not authentic, but the meaning and the law itself is correct. You could not have two sisters, or two, even two half sisters, or sisters by nursing, or nurse sisters by blood. Any two sister could not be under the same man. He can have a sister of a sister, one die, and after this he can go and marry the second one. Okay? Or that he was married to A, and after this for some reason he divorced her, the iddah finished, he can go and propose to his, to her sister. But he could, no one can have two sisters under him in the same time. Hadith number 860, page number 355. وعن سالم عن أبيه أن غيلان ابن سلمة أسلم وله عشر نسوة فأسلمنا معه فأمره النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أن يتخير منهن أربعة. رواه أحمد والترمذي وصححه ابن حبان. The hadith is حسن. The hadith is good. The hadith is reported by سالم عن أبيه, informing us that Ghaylan ibn Salama, this man, he became a Muslim, and under him he has 10 wives. He has only 10 wives. Okay, I'm glad that somebody's awake, or somebody start to wake up also. Good. Maybe I have to say it again. I see everybody start to smile and talk and laugh. Wow. And even you, Fatima, be careful when you go home, your mother is spanking you. I'm glad, Iman, you don't understand what we're talking about. This man, he was non-Muslim and he has only 10 wives. So when he became Muslim, see the good thing now, that 10 women became Muslims. You see, even the Majid started coming in now when he heard about it. So the 10 women became Muslim. Okay, so here Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told him that he have to make a choice, make a selection, and keep only 4, because this is the maximum that a man can have in marriage from 3 women. This is the maximum number that a man can have under him in marriage from 3 women. He can have whatever he want number from your right hand possess. I'm only letting you know the law. I know that there is no anything exists nowadays. Does not mean going to start to happen tomorrow. And this doesn't prevent you to know about the law. Okay? And now you can, everybody, his name going to be recorded home, and your wife is not going to send you to the class next week. We see who's going to be here next week and who's going to be absent. So from this we understand the maximum number is permitted for a Muslim to have from wives are 4. And And in the case that a person became a Muslim and he have more than this number, now how he go about it by making a selection, for whatever reason he's going to keep so and so and divorce so and so or release so and so, this is his choice. Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah. And as I said, the hadith is Hassan. Hadith number 861. وعن ابن عباس رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال رد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ابنته زينب إلى أبي العاص ابن الربيع بعد 6 سنين بالنكاح الأول ولم يحدث نكاحا. رواه أحمد. The hadith is authentic inshallah, which reported by ابن عباس, may Allah be pleased with him, that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم had restored or gave back his daughter Zainab to her previous husband, which Abil Aas ibn al-Rabi' after 6 years without initiating a new marriage. Okay? And when two couple, husband and wife, both of them non-Muslim, okay, if the husband became a Muslim and not the wife, as long she is from the people of the book, okay, she is a Christian or a Jew, he can keep her, okay. But in the case that the woman became Muslim but not the man, they could not remain in the position anymore, being in the same house, okay. And this woman have to leave, and after her iddah is over, or if she pregnant and deliver her baby, now she is available for marriage. If her previous husband became a Muslim, okay, during the iddah, he will have the right over her, and there is no need for making a new marriage contract. If the iddah is over and he became Muslim, is up to her to accept him or to marry somebody else. So what happened in this case, that the daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is Zainab, now her husband Abil Aas ibn al-Rabi', after six years he became Muslim. She didn't get married during this period, so Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave her and restored the marriage back without initiating a new contract and a new marriage. And this to let us understand that marriage being done before Islam, as long as a contract marriage, that means like a religious marriage or whatever you want to call it, is not a sifah, is not a zina, is not boyfriend and girlfriend, that will be considered in al-Islam. Let me know how many more hadith, please. Next hadith, hadith number 862. Approximately 5 minutes. Okay. 862 عن عمر ابن شعيب عن أبي عن جدي. We going to leave this hadith, which hadith number 862, because it's weak. Hadith number 863, page number 356. We going to skip the hadith because it's weak. Hadith number 864, page number 356. We're going to skip it because it's weak. We go to page number 357. Hadith number 865, reported by Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib. We're going to skip it because it's weak. And we go to last hadith, which hadith number, last hadith in this chapter, hadith number 866 in page number 358, and classify this hadith as weak. And since it's only few minutes left before the class, we are not going to start the new chapter. We leave it inshallah for next week. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. سبحانك اللهم بحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. تفضل يا أخي. We trying to if I can. The zani, after he got whipped and take his punishment, he is clean from his sin, inshallah. Yes, of course. Nevertheless, that a chaste believing woman should look for a better priority and better choice. And possibility that this hadith, let me, if I can see some help here from other books. About how many hadith ago, do you remember? No, because I have something different numbers here. By who reported, please? Abu Huraira. Okay, let me. Abu Huraira. As I said here, as example, it say الزاني المجلود. Okay, لا ينكح أي لا يتزوج. الزاني المجلود أي الزاني الذي أقيم عليه الحد بالجلد. Okay. تحريم زواج الزانية من العفيف. تحريم تزويج العفيف من الزانية. تشنيع أمر الزنا وأنه لا يقع من رجل عفيف على امرأة عفيفة. يجب على العفيف أن لا يتزوج إلا عفيفة. يجب أن لا يتزوج العفيف إلا عفيفا. So it doesn't say too much more than what I said, but the best of my understanding that although that the person has been forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but this also to show that how serious it is matter. It can be another form of punishment, and it can be also discouragement, and not to be spread in the community, all these things. And that the woman should be looking to a higher priority in her life, not to marry a man who had been exposed to something haram. About asking, I don't think that we should do this, but we're talking about الثيب المجلود, الزاني المجلود, because when a person gets a punishment, usually it's done in public, okay, it's known. But if somebody did this and not known, I don't think it should be a place of question. This will be like a person exposing his sin, which Allah had covered his sin. But I maybe ask a person, as example, to go and have a blood test. Okay? Not for purpose of knowing if he did something haram or no, but for matter of protection. And Allah knows best. Anybody have a question? Yes.
Temporary marriages that were no longer lawful.
Mm-hmm.
The two persons that were involved in temporary marriage, can they remarry each other and become a lawful marriage?
What been done is lawful, was not something unlawful. So when they did this, this been done by the permission of Rasulullah, so they did not do something wrong. So what's lawful does not make what's lawful forbidden. You see what I'm saying? So this temporary marriage was not something that they did out of the law. They did it according to the law.
So they don't have to divorce after the temporary marriage?
No, because if they do it according, as example, okay, he married her for 2 days. So after the 2 days without even divorce her, the marriage is no longer any there.
So if he wanted to remarry her now,
it's going to be, will be a marriage, witnesses, and yes, yes. Yes, and Allah knows best. Yes, anybody have anything concerning what we talk about today? Okay. Yes, ma'am. Where is saying should? Because the usual I don't go by that in the book. Okay. Okay. I maybe first the word should, okay, is not equivalent to what is in the Arabic, okay? Because an-nahy yufid at-tahrim. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam or Allah forbid something, that mean when he what you call the prohibition benefit the wait again to
so it shouldn't be should, it should be
yes. No, I'm trying to get